Now on Sports Talk, it's SC Wild with Major Billy Downer of the Department of Natural Resources. Major Downer is here to take your questions about the great outdoors in South Carolina. Give him a call at 888-898-2525. It's SC Wild from DNR on the Sports Talk Radio Network.
Okay, we'd love to hear from you tonight here on SC Wild on Sports Talk Radio Network, 888-898-2525. We have the Major Billy Downer with us in studio tonight. How are you, sir?
Always glad to be here, sir.
Absolutely. Always look forward to this. We talk about hunting and fishing and archery and high school sports related to the great outdoors, the ins and outs, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and deer season. Is here.
Deer season is hot and heavy. We keep saying that every week, like, okay, deer season's really here now. It's gotten cooler. Well, it's flat out gotten cold, and it really is on.
Yeah.
I mean, it is, it's wide open. You can tell if you ride up and down the road, you're seeing more deer hit on the road because particularly bucks are moving.
Mm-hmm. What's your advice for that? What is your advice?
Keep both hands on the wheel at all times. Stay on the inside lane if you can.
Mm-hmm. Give yourself a little extra room.
Give yourself a little extra room for reaction, but never jerk the wheel on a deer. It's hard for people not to jerk the wheel when an animal comes out. You know, whether it's a deer or a squirrel or anything else, you want to jerk the wheel.
Yeah.
But when folks jerk the wheel, they tend to lose control of the vehicle. That's when vehicles roll over and other things happen. So it's better. I know it sounds crazy. It's better to hit a deer than to try to miss it, swerve into an oncoming lane, and hit oncoming traffic.
I see so much on I-26, especially at night. I make so many trips at night up to Clemson and back, and right around that intersection, 385 and 26, you can always see the deer grazing on the side of the road.
Right.
And then you can see some remains on the road.
Sure.
And it just seems like an area there. And when I'm driving, I'm like you said, I always get in the left side.
Yep.
And
that's because you're speeding normally. You're in the fast lane.
I'm not commenting on that, but I'm taking your advice. But, I mean, my eyes are always moving,
sure,
especially checking the right side in the grassy area to see what's over there.
Right. And unfortunately, I say unfortunately, it's kind of funny that the highway department plants winter grasses and things like clovers to help keep erosion down on the side of the roads. Well, clovers are something deer love to eat. Clover, mm-hmm, they love to eat, that red clover. And it just pulls deer out on the edge of the highway, mm-hmm, in the wintertime when it gets cold. In the next month, when it just really gets cold and there's nothing growing anymore, because we've had a warm fall. We just, mm-hmm, have. And this finally getting a little bit of cold weather is really working well for as far as hunting for deer. This is the time. We talked about that last couple times. It's getting cooler. We had a couple cool snaps when it got in the 40s, where it's down in the 30s, and this weekend's supposed to drop into the 20s, upper 20s possibly. So when it gets cold, deer are looking for food. So folks that are putting corn out, that's going to pull deer to, you know, does are going to pull to the corn piles where bait's at, or food plots if you plant a food plot. And bucks right now are really in full gear. In the last 2 weeks, I've heard young bucks run around, grunting out loud, running, chasing does. But as a good friend of mine told me just yesterday, talking about it, he's waiting on that big boy to step out. When he steps out, he knows he's the big guy in the field. He walks out. He's not running, chasing does.
Mm-hmm.
He walks out. He's kind of hard stepping like he's the boss. The young bucks are out there with the head laid back, their horns laid back, and their antlers, laid against their back, and they're running wide open, chasing deer, chasing does. In and out of the field, they're bat, the whole time they're running. They're wide open, much like a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got the adult, the big boy. He steps out there and he's like, I'm it.
Yeah.
I know I'm it. I don't have to run these does. They're going to kind of come to me.
Mm-hmm.
And when you see that deer step out, you can kind of tell either you, and most of the time the big deer bucks that I've seen usually are walking behind does. They're not running, not to say they don't run a doe, but typically they're walking right behind her to stay in a step with the doe, and they're just going to stay where she's at. Or they'll walk out in the field, and they kind of take a good picture of what's out in the field for a minute, and they'll eat, but they let everybody know they're there. And everybody knows they're there in the deer world. They see them.
Do they come out, the deer? I mean, are they looking for hunters? Are they looking for other animals now, that might attack them? Are they aware of what's out there?
Absolutely. Remember, a deer lives in a world where there are other things trying to kill it all the time. More so in the past when we had cougars, eastern cougars. We had the red wolf that was in our area. That was the predominant predator. Well, those are gone now. We do have coyotes, and coyotes have had some effect on the deer population, certainly, but not near to the extent of a bigger predator would have. We don't have bears that take deer like in Alaska and out west. They have grizzly bears, brown bears. We don't have that. But deer certainly are aware of human beings. Now, there are certain areas where deer are way more attuned to humans than they are in other areas. I have one place I hunt that you can walk to the stand, and deer can be in the field, and they'll see you. And they'll let you get very close before they walk into the woods. They don't run off. They walk off. As soon as you get in the stand, they'll walk right back out.
Mm-hmm.
They're not as scared of humans as in some places where you walk, a deer sees you, and whitetail comes up, they blow, and they're leaving, and they're not coming back. So it just depends on where you hunt. But again, certainly deer are always watching for predators, including humans. So they have tremendous eyesight. They don't have full range of color, but they do have tremendous eyesight. They're looking. They can see a long distance, and they hear well. But the main thing on any deer hunter's mind is scent control.
Mm-hmm.
A deer can smell. And if they see something, they're going to stop and look at it. They're not necessarily going to run.
Right.
They're waiting to get another sense in there. They're going to listen. They don't hear anything. They're waiting for smell. If they see it and then they smell a human odor, they're taking off. That's two things they can't take. If they smell you. So wind, hunters are always concerned about wind being downwind of an animal, not upwind, where your scent's blowing to them.
Yeah.
So that's why hunters, you see all the commercials about scent control, those kind of things.
Now, you bagged one not too long ago.
Yes, I was very lucky this past weekend, taking a friend of mine hunting and put him in the prime stand, tried to be a good friend, put him in the prime stand, and I kind of sat in the secondary stand, and wouldn't you know it, the story I'm unfolding here, I'm watching eight does in a field, and out steps a deer about 300 yards off, and when I saw him with my own just plain eyes, I went, I took binoculars, because you should always use your binoculars to identify the animal,
right?
Not a scope, because if you take your scope to identify the animal, you're pointing a rifle downrange, and what if it's not an animal, if it's a person?
Yeah.
You just pointed a rifle at him. So use a pair of binoculars to identify the animal. So I picked binoculars up. I already knew this was a big deer.
Yeah.
Put binoculars up. Sure enough, I'm like, really? Ooh. I'm really, oh, I am. And I'm going, wow, 300 yards is a bit beyond my comfort level for a shot. We've talked about long-distance shots this year.
Uh-huh.
We talk about it every year, about preparation for that. So I'm sitting there in the stand going, okay, I don't have the best rest in this stand I'm sitting in, waiting, looking. And he comes out, immediately turns around, goes back in the woods. Rear end sticking out. I'm like, great. Ooh. I just got a glimpse of him. He's gone. This is it. Nope. Came back out, and he steps. It felt like it took him 5 minutes to take one step.
Uh-huh.
And he'd eat a little bit, and he'd walk. And he'd eat a little bit, and he'd walk.
At this point, how far off is he?
295 yards.
So he walked a little bit toward
him. I'm telling you, I'm going to say a little bit. He's walking teeny, like taking little half steps.
Yeah.
It felt like an hour. It probably was about 15 minutes. He got to about 275, and he turned sideways.
Wow.
And he's looking out in that field, and he's got – I could see a lot of a lot of antlers. Not a lot of mass, but they were wide. They were, the G2s, your second antlers, were very tall, very prominent. You could see it. So I lay there, I'm looking through the scope going, okay, breathe. Breathe in, breathe out, hold, practice. If you had to take the shot, could you make it? I'm going, there's no way I can make 275. Now
– wait a minute. You're a Citadel grad.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean I can shoot 275. Now here's the fun part. This hadn't happened in years.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sitting there watching this deer, and all of a sudden I hear it. Womp, womp. Womp, womp. I'm going, you got to be kidding me.
You could hear him?
I could hear my heart in my head.
Oh, that was your heart.
My heart starts beating.
Really?
The
I thought you were hearing the deer.
The old buck fever hits.
Uh-huh.
I feel like I hadn't had that hit me in forever.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of nice to have you go, wow, all right, calm down. This is kind of dumb.
Mm.
Calm down. Well, he keeps taking a few steps. Little Buck comes over. They kind of tickle horns for a minute. Then he gets to about, I'm wanting him to get to about 200, but he gets to about 250.
Is that because safety or?
Just for me and my comfort zone of a shot. Mm-hmm. And the rest I have was not the best rest. I like to have a stand with a sandbag. This one doesn't have that. It's a metal stand.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just waiting for him to get a little closer. Well, he gets to about 250, what I estimated, and a doe walks in front of him and goes in the woods. And he kind of really paid a lot of attention to her.
Mm-hmm.
And he started to turn in the woods, and I went, this is it. So I took safety off. And
further evidence that the downfall of every man.
Yes, he started to chase her. He started to not chase, but walk in the woods. And
the woman set him up.
I pulled the trigger, and I looked through the scope, and he's still standing there looking at me. I'm going, this is not good. So rack again, take another shot. He's gone. Eventually, I did find him, and I did take that deer, but the first shot I completely missed.
You missed on the first shot?
Completely missed.
It didn't scare him off?
No. In fact, the other deer in the field all stand there looking. So it's one of those weird things. You talk about deer and their ability to know this, but sometimes they can't tell that sound came from.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking. Where'd it come from?
Yeah.
Because he's out there 250. That's not close.
Yeah.
Is it a doable shot?
That's 2.5 football fields.
Sure.
Imagine that, 2.5 football fields.
Bah-yow! He's going, where'd that sound come from? He's mm-hmm. looking. He can't see me. I'm hitting pretty good there. So
when your second shot hit, you didn't see him react?
Nope, I didn't. I just didn't. Mm-hmm. He came in closer, and I was able to take him there. He's right there. So
what's the size?
It was an 8-point. He ended up having a 20 1/4 inside spread, which is a pretty good feat for me. I've never taken a deer that wide, so that was a lot of fun to see that, to be able to take that kind of animal.
Mm-hmm.
I always enjoy the opportunity to be a field. It's not about taking an animal for me, but the fact that I got a little buck fever,
mm-hmm.
That's kind of fun to realize you still get, still get you.
Still got it.
I still get you, yeah. And it got me nervous. Wow. But this was a nice deer.
Yeah.
A 20-inch deer, as a friend of mine told me, is something that everyone doesn't get to see in a lifetime or take. So that's a nice thing for me. I enjoyed the hunt. With my friend, I sat in the stand, waited for him to get dark. But anyway, that was a good hunt.
That was great. And what did you do?
So
with the deer?
With the deer?
Mm-hmm.
We load it up and we go take it to the processor. We're looking forward to some deer meat.
So it's in the process.
Beef sticks, oh yeah.
It's in the process of processing.
Yes, sir.
And what about, you going to put something on the wall? Or
probably going to mount that deer because it's a pretty good, it's a decent deer for me.
Mm-hmm.
May not be, for every person, I always say this. Everybody has their idea of what a big deer is.
Yeah.
And it's different for everybody. For me, very nice deer. So I'm excited about being able to take that kind of deer. I'm going to mount him for me. Some people might not mount that, but I am.
Yeah.
But there's people that will mount a 6-point that's a trophy to them.
Yeah.
A trophy is what you make it.
Sure.
So
absolutely.
Anyway, a lot of fun. Deer, the rut's on. Probably winding down, but with the cold temperatures this weekend, deer are going to be out. So now's the time to hunt.
Mm-hmm.
Get out there. This deer season right now is really in full swing.
Having a good deer season in South Carolina now?
We are, especially now it's getting cooler. The cold temperatures, a lot more deer being taken. So, mm-hmm. yes. But, again, be careful on the roads.
Oh, yeah.
So today,
mm-hmm.
special day for us. We'll talk about that probably the rest of the show.
Take a while. Go right ahead.
We had a ribbon cutting ceremony today for the Love Farm WMA and the Nat Love Youth Special Hunt Area over in Richland County, over in basically eastern Richland County, lower Richland County. We had that toward Eastover. Very proud of this property, 782 acres that we are marked as opening for use for the public in the coming years. Focusing on youth hunts for the most part, but there are going to be some public hunt opportunities there with doves. Additional waterfowl draw hunt opportunities. So we're really excited about it. This is a really cool piece of property. It borders 3 miles of the Watery River. So we've conserved 3 more miles of the Watery River. It borders across the 378 from our Watery Heritage Preserve,
mm-hmm.
about 4,000 acres there, which is open to the public for lots of activities. This property was owned by the Love family, Michael Love and his dad before him, Nat Love. So I'll be excited to share a little bit more about that as we get toward the end of the show here. But again, 782 acres we dedicated today. looking forward to a lot of really cool things we'll talk about when we come back from
break. Yeah, we'll go into more detail after the break. SC sure. Wild here on Sports Talk. A few more minutes if you want to jump on board, 888-898-2525. Be right back.
Now on Sports Talk, it's SC Wild with Major Billy Downer of the Department of Natural Resources. Major Downer is here to take your questions about the great outdoors in South Carolina. Give him a call at 888-898-2525. It's SC Wild from DNR on the Sports Talk Radio Network.
Final minutes with the Major, Billy Downer, here on SC Wild on Sports Talk. If you want to jump on board, a quick comment or question, 888-898-2525. You want to continue about Love Farms?
Sure. So today, 782 acres, again, we dedicated today, was conveyed to DNR about a month ago here from the Conservation Fund, South Carolina Conservation Fund. And basically, they helped us. So this the whole purchase was made possible with federal funding from our U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, Pittman Robertson, the wildlife restoration dollars. We talk about hunter education dollars. That was money we used to buy that property, along with funding from the South Carolina chapter of the National Wild Turkey Federation.
Mm-hmm.
There was some REPI federal program, REPI program money through the Conservation Fund, which protects basically flyways and from development. So open land between Air Force bases, around Air Force bases from development, which worked out because this property sits, of course, between Shaw and McIntyre. So it worked out to be able to conserve that land. But mainly, you know, conserving open space, a conservation-minded area. The Love family, Michael Love, just give him a lot of credit. He and his dad, just a legacy of conservation there on their property. They've had, you know, managed for quail, they've managed for waterfowl, they've managed for doves, deer, turkeys, you name it. Again, beautiful shoreline of the Watery River. Just very excited to have this property. And really, it all started from a conversation with Michael. Michael's been doing some youth hunts for many years with the Gold Star hunts, where he takes young people whose parents serving overseas who have died. And he takes the Gold Star kids hunting on their first, many of them on their first hunting experience. We got involved from the DNR standpoint through our Take One, Make One program several years back, helping him on his hunts. Linwood Kearse, Ken Cope and others have helped with those hunts. And I was out on one of these hunts helping them sight rifles in. Usually it's a whole weekend deal. And that Michael bringing 15 young people or more, 20 young people for these hunts. He just opened his doors, fed them, did all kind of fun stuff. And we came in, we were sighting rifles in, and he and I were talking, and I was just talking to him. I said, you know, wouldn't it be cool if we could preserve your property for the future and always guarantee there'd be youth to be able to go here. At the time, he really wasn't ready to sell his place. It's probably, you know, and I understood that. But he said, you know, one day I'll talk. And 2 years later, we put it together. And he was there today. And just, again, I thank the Love family for sharing this property with us, with being willing to pass the torch to DNR to continue the heritage of that property. Again, mostly youth-oriented. That's what that is what he wanted, and that's why we were able to get it, because we promised to do youth hunts. So we're going to do a lot of it's going to be a dedicated Tomo youth area. There's going to be opportunity to build a state event area for skeet and trap, one of our fastest growing sports for our shotgun sport. Skeet and trap have 8 skeet fields and trap fields overlaid all together there with the 4 fields from Watery. That makes 12 fields. It'll be the largest skeet and trap event area in South Carolina. It'll be available for youth and adults to use. We're excited about that. Got the 400 acres of bottomland hardwoods. It's going to be a dedicated youth area for Take One, Make One hunts, for first-time youth hunt experiences. But also, the public, we're going to have a 60 to 80-acre dove field. It's going to be open for public hunting, which we don't have any dove hunting opportunity in Richland County much, so this is going to be a tremendous opportunity there. And then the waterfowl impoundments, of which there are about 3 on the property that they had has propagated, kind of kept going. Those 3 waterfowl areas will be added to our waterfowl draw. So, again, the public have the opportunity there. So a huge win-win all the way around for South Carolina, for DNR. We're excited about it, and we're looking forward to promoting that property in the months and years to come.
Sounds fantastic. And, again, thanks to the Love family.
Yes, sir.
For stepping up big time.
Absolutely. Again, remember, deer season's in. If you go out in the woods, Identify your target. Know what lies beyond it.
That'll do it. SC Wild on Sports Talk with Major Billy Downer. See you tomorrow night.